Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us in the past week. Your grace, O Lord, and your mercy being with us, Lord, granting us thy grace to walk in thy light and to know your presence being with us, Lord, and have kept us. We do not know what tomorrow holds for us, but we know you hold tomorrow. And the Lord, you will keep us, Lord, in your hand. While we are here this morning, Lord, it's a privilege to be here to fellowship with one another and to worship your holy name and to glorify thy great name. For we are here also, Father, to understand your word, to know, Father, what you have in store for us, and the golden nuggets of your truth, Lord, that will help guide us in this life. We thank you, Father. Now as you approach thy word, may you open our hearts to receive, Father. Not our ears to hear, and my mouth to speak, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord for his grace the whole day, the whole last week, and keeping us all. I want to thank God for that. Now, today, this morning's subject and thought of the word is a fresh word for a new day. Let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The main part of this verse I'm thinking is, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. God never changed his mind about his word. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5. I'm taking this text from this verse, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray you, at the word of God today. Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So, now I don't know about you, and I taught you so many times that whenever you get up in the morning, when you put your leg out of the bed onto the floor, sit where you are on the bed, and just lift up your hand and say, thank the Lord for today. Make this day a present day. Let me walk with you. Let me hear from you. You know. So every day when we get up, remember, it's a new day. You may get up and feel it's a lousy day because you have a problem the previous day or the previous few days, and you find that, well, you feel so disappointed with life, or maybe you're frustrated with things. You find that you may not like the day, how it will go. We don't know how the day will go. For you, for me. But if we don't get up in the morning and thank God for the day that's ahead of us, because he has given us another day to breathe life. If you do not treasure life, then of course, in my fire is not worth living. I was trying to write a song, a new song that I have, and never get going because it just never get the rhythm started. I get up in the morning, the sun was shining bright, and I look all around me, I see a pitiful sight of people running to and fro, not knowing where they go. And I wonder about life. So what is life? Here is a saying by the great thinker. He is from a city or the village of Nunes, in Bitlis, Turkey. He had this saying. He said, mankind has three problems. His name is Said Nursi. He said, man has three problems. Discrimination, poverty, and ignorance. Discrimination can be solved with love and compassion. Poverty with sharing. ignorance can only be solved by education. Discrimination, you have to change your mind, of course, you know, to show love and compassion to the first people that you discriminate. They can change that. And people around you could also do the same. Poverty, people who are poor, you share. You get people to share. But when it comes to ignorance, you have to be taught. You have to be educated. You have to find the truth. The whole world today is, a great percentage of the world today is filled with ignorance. You take a poor country, for example, why are they poor? Well, you say, the government is not governing well. That may be true. But what would you do for yourself? Now, if you go to India, you know how that the country has one of the largest population in the world, next to China. But if you compare China, which has a greater population, to India, the people in China are better off than all of Indians out there. Why? Because of ignorance. And if you look at it, it is true. Even in Africa, many parts of the whole continent of Africa, some country of Africa, like Southern Africa, is better off. Zambia is better off than Zimbabwe after the whole country is split into two in the time back in the days of Rhodesia. If you go to Kenya, Kenya is better also. But if you go to West Africa, like Ivory Coast, Benin, and all that, Somalia, also as well. Why are people so backward? Many times it's due to ignorance. India especially, I find India especially. You have a lot of family, have a lot of children. The understanding is that, oh, well, I'm married, I will have a lot of children so that when I'm old, they take care of me. This has always been a thought. Very, very foolish thinking. People produce children so that their children could take care of them when they grow old. And what do the children do when they have so many children and the children are not educated? And in India, you have a lot of child labor, and in many countries as well. Ignorance. Ignorance also because of their belief. And I said this to be true, and I think you, dear brother in India, will agree with me. That in India, every female that is born, from childbirth onward, they must have a gold piece in their nose or on their ear. Is that right? They must have a gold piece. You will see in India, every one of them, myself, God, for they are those of Christian, they won't do that. But the Hindu, even the Muslim Indian, do have it. And when in the marriage, well, there was this reason in India just the last few days, they are showing this Hindu movie about the princess, right? And the Hindu protest because they said it's not depicted right in all this, and I saw a poster of it. It was a princess with a lot of with a big earring and a big nose ring that's covering half her mouth. It's in the paper. You see, it's so ignorant. It's everything is that they wanted to look beautiful and with all the golds on their face and everything, but what does that serve? And yet, education is not there for them to better their life. So you see a teenager and all this with golds on them, but did they have education? Mommy and daddy will buy them a piece of gold. But did they teach the daughter about life? Educated them, give them a good education. You see how ignorant really put people into a trap. You see. And this is what is happening to the world today among God's people. Now the world does not belong to God. The world belongs to the devil. The God of this evil world is Satan. God do not rule the world. God rules His own earth. The Bible said the earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. So when we talk about the earth, we talk about the thing that God has created. But the system of men around the world, whether it's religious, financial, military, political, every system in the world, they were created by men, and men under dominations of Satan. Satan manipulates. Look at the political world. What do you think it is? What is up there in India? Now, I cannot go to India anymore, because my name is locked up in their system. Because they want to, they have it, well, more or less interrogated, they say interview. So why are you going, why have you been in India so often? He said, well, I'm going to visit my friend. You visit your friend, really? Yeah? Tell the truth, when you come to India so often? I said, I visit my friend. What kind of friend? He said, my Christian friend. Oh, Christian friend. And you, what do you do when you visit them? I said, well, they invited me in just to talk with them. Oh, you talk about religion, right? Your Christian faith, right? He said, they don't want Christian missionary. He said, you are welcome, but the moment you next time you go in, you speak the word of God, even to anybody in the home, who will arrest you. You see, the system is like that. Even in Egypt, you know that we have, Brother Pierre told me that he's going to Egypt next month. And he wanted me to go. I said, okay, that was end of last year, you were planning. Then I was thinking, well, because I'm having a lot of this, my cough is still, a lot of phlegm still. I said, yeah, well, I think we will postpone that if I can. Then he said, yeah, it's true, because he himself was that, he thinks that it's better to go in March. But you know what he told me last week? He said, brother, again, we are very fortunate that we cannot go. We didn't go. We didn't plan to go in February. Because why? Because news has gotten around among some of the Christian people, preachers who know that we are going there to introduce to them the true gospel, the word of God. Not just to go there and talk to them about. I mean, if you are going to denomination, if the denomination know what I'm teaching, they won't invite me, of course. You know, they want me to preach the thing that they preach, shallow thing. But we want to review the word of God, because we are living in the last day. And you know what? The doomsday clock has already been moved already 30 seconds. And you know, 2 minutes to midnight. After the Second World War started, 5 minutes to midnight, and they move back forward, and then they move back, because everything should be peaceful. But now they move forward 2 minutes to midnight. Maybe I would think it is only 30 seconds to midnight. Because after all, we are in a situation, the world is crazy. Huh? So you know what he told me? He said, news got around. And the brother gave information to him how that some of the ministers down there in the denomination, when they heard about Brother Pierre, you know, organizing a convention, talking about the truth that we have, they don't want it. So the news has got up to authorities. And in fact, he told me that last month ago, one of the brothers went in, he opened his mouth. Oh, I'm here for, gospel. And he was deported back. In country where you go in that are Muslim and extreme Hinduism, you cannot open a mouth and say, I'm coming here to talk about the gospel. You can't. They are afraid of the gospel. If they have the truth in their religion, why are they afraid? It is because of ignorance. That's what the Bible said. Jesus had talked to the Pharisees. They are very religious people. They know the Old Testament. They said, we have Abraham as our father. We have Moses as our leader. Our prophet Ezekiel, our prophet Jeremiah. We have all these prophets. And yet Jesus stood there. They didn't even know who he was. The very Messiah that the prophet, their prophet prophesied of. Huh? And they would have killed Jesus. Yeah, they killed him, actually. Right. Why? Because they're ignorant, and Jesus told them, you search the scripture, for in them you find eternal life. Search the scripture. But how many people are searching? Were the religious people searching? In those days, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, oh yeah, they are theologian. Like today, a lot of preachers out there, before they can preach, they go to theological school for a minimum of 2 years. to get a pastoral suit. Huh? Then they'll be ordained by the system, not ordained by God. Ordained by the system. Paul in the Bible was ordained by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisees. Before he was Paul, he was called Saul. But when God opened his eyes, he saw the truth, because he was killing the Christian. He was trying to destroy the movement of God. And Jesus Christ stopped him on the way to Damascus when he was going up there to try to find Christian and brought him to be judged. God opened his eyes. Then he realized. And God said, Christ said to him, "You are so zealous. Then for that, I will ordain you to be my servant, and you will suffer for my sake." Right? A minister of God, a true minister of God who's called, will suffer. Now, how many preachers in the world here, rich country, will they suffer? Look at the churches. Big building, nice building. The priest or whatever, they come out here and preach half an hour sermon in this church. I told a woman yesterday that I met. My ministry here, teaching is 1.5 hours. Minimum. 90 minutes, not 1.5 hour. Yeah, 90 minutes minimum. 1.5 hour, that's got my man. You know, 90 minutes, right? Having one half hour, my son. You know, because we want to study the word, but not come here to say, God so loved the world. God is great. God is good. God wants to make you rich. No, we don't want that stuff. That is false faith given out to the people to pamper them. That God is good. God is good. Who doesn't know that God is good? Do you know that God is also a God of wrath? Yes. A God of justice. You know, when God gets angry, you have nowhere to hide. They will call the mountain to fall on them. That's what the Bible said. You know. But everybody thought God is good, God is good. That's the reason why when God is so good, everybody says, we can do whatever we like. Then we go in confession. We tell God, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. Because God is so good, He always forgives. So you repeat sin again, 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 and again. God forgive you, and again, and again. You know, no parents would like their children to do that. You ask my son and my daughter. One time, two times, my dog comes out. On the bed you go. My belt, and I belt them. That's how angry I would be when children don't obey their parents. So how many times have we disobeyed God time and time again? How many times do we want to? You see, this is what Jesus said: "If you love me, keep my commandment." Right, right. So the world is full of ignorance, and that's true. Now, when we talk about getting fresh wood every day, now, but in the past, there are one Indian brother from India, there was years ago, maybe about 20, 30 years ago now when I was there. Each time I went, he said to me, he said, "Brigham, have you any fresh, new revelation? Do you have any new revelation, brother?" When you always ask about new revelation, God has always fresh wood for us. God always has new thing for us every day. But when you talk about new revelation, what are you looking for? The deep things of God will be revealed according to God's time. And you will get the revelation and answer to God only at an appointed time, appointed place. That's right. You can hear a message preached today here and after that you forget. But maybe 3 or 4 days later, or 3 or 4 weeks or months later, you may be sitting in a coffee shop or a food eatery, and then you eat the food, and then somebody walks past and they say something, it triggers something. Then you might go back to today, this day, of the thing that you heard. Sometimes it takes something to trigger. And that's how often how God dealt with me. You know, I heard people preach, I heard some people talk. Then the moment a person said something, the Lord wake up, go home, take out the Bible. I want you to preach this. I want you to learn this and reveal it to your people. You know. That's how God works with people. Yeah, at an appointed time and an appointed place. So fresh wood doesn't mean different words. Huh? Last week you heard a message, the week before you heard a message, and so on. But today, you got to hear something new. But you see, but after that, maybe after I have taught you that, the service is over, you say, oh, but I heard this before. Yeah, you heard it before. But it may not have applied to you that time. But this time, God may use it to apply it to you and teach you new ways, the way that you should go. Right? You can say, I read the Bible through once already. That's enough. In fact, many people don't read the Bible through even once. You call yourself a Christian, you never even read the Bible once. You only pick, or go to church with the Bible, and the preacher says, open the Bible to this word, and you just look at it, that's it. The Bible, God did not say, read my word. The Bible, God said, study my word. Search out my word, for in them you find eternal life. Eternal life is to be found in the word of God. It's not in religion. It's not in the Catholic church. It's not even in the evangelical church. Even in this church, you don't find salvation. You find salvation in the word of God. Not in a system. Not in a man. Only in God's word. Is that right? Jesus said, come unto me. Look, go to a priest, go to a pastor, go to a reverend, or go to a holy man. No. Come unto me, Jesus said. Is that not right? You want truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. But people today, they are so ignorant. Oh, they go to this church because it's a big church. Must be true. And yet, people have said to me, how come your church is so small after so many years? You know how many people, how many true believers Jesus had in his days? He preached out there 4,000, 5,000, 2,000, right? And he fed them. Right? They followed him wherever he went. One time he went across the Capernaum. The first people who was on one side of Galilee, when he went over there, the same people were there. Jesus Christ said, you come, not because you want the word of God. You come because you want the fish and the bread. Because you eat of those things. Remember the bread, the miracle bread? You saw those and you like it. People are following signs and wonders and miracles. Are you looking for the word of God for truth? Or are you looking for miracles and signs? And that's what we have on YouTube. Advertisement, all this. Come to this man, you've got power, got signs and wonders. The brother man looking for signs and wonders. Still talk about Brother Branham's miracle, miraculous life, supernatural life. What do you talk about? Can you talk about the word of God today for yourself? And learn to live with God the way that God wants you to live. You know. Alright. We have a lot of unbelief in people's life. Now I'm not talking about people out there in the world. After all, God cares about his children. Those that form the church, the body of Christ. Unbelief. There are many in Christianity. They say they believe. But when it comes to the word of God, I said this before, I was sharing with others before, the last few weeks, one, and then yesterday with the woman. When God says something, can we do it and follow it? Or do we find it very difficult? And which many times we as Christians struggle because we find it very hard to do the thing God wants us to do. Right, isn't it? Or do we just say, what will be, will be. Now, you wake up today. Let's say you faced the water, you have a problem, then you need to solve it. And you pray, say, Lord, help me. You know, I need this thing to be answered. What are you praying? Then what is your attitude towards it? Now I have someone in the past when I went to the States. I knew the family I was. I stayed with the family. And you know, after several years, the children may not grow up No, the children all grow up, they all grown up now. And of course they are choosing to go their own way too. Sometimes we find our little kids, they are young, they come to church. And they grow up, they're teaching them to, you know, worship in the church, they say hallelujah and say amen, right? But by the time when they went to teenage, when they are preteen to teen, it's different, huh? Because now they have a mind of their own, an adult mind of their own. Not like my little grandson, 4 years old, or coming to 5, he has a mind of his own now, of course. But he still could be manipulated. He could still be controlled. But when it comes to preteen, that teen, I'm now 16 years old. In America, I think 16 now, huh? I'm 18 years old. Now, Singapore is 21 years old when you get a key. I have a mama, all I do what I want. Yeah, you see? And then what happened? They just do whatever they want. So, if we have a need, we say we believe, when we pray, we believe. Do we just say, okay, what movie will be? So, that brother in the state told me, you know, I even one here in Singapore told me, 7 years ago, if my children is predestined to go to heaven, they will go to heaven. It's just that someone said, if I'm predestined for the rapture, I will be raptured. That's what it is. Is that what is faith all about? What will be, no care, sarah, sarah. What will be. No. You have a choice. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. We all have a choice to make. Is that right? We know we read the Bible, yes, the Lord have already before the foundation of the world chose certain people and predestined them to the image of Jesus Christ. To be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why doctrine has been wrongly taught in Christianity for so many years. Oh, God predestined this one to heaven. This one to hell. No, God don't do that. God already knew before you exist the direction you are heading and where you are going. What you are choosing. God knew even before Saul was born that he will try to destroy the Christian, his people. But God looked into the future, he saw him and God chose him and gave him the gospel and see what he will do with the gospel. God give you the gospel. What would you do with the gospel? Huh? Well, I received the gospel. I'm a Christian now. I'm happy. Good for you. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of your life. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. So if you have the beginning with the gospel, you must walk all the way to the end. Right? A to Z. You don't hop from A to Z. You can't. X is not where everything. Jesus said, follow me and learn of me. Learn of me. But Lord, already I'm your child. I'm a Christian now, right? Let me do what I want. That's not belief. If I'm your child, right, God? If I'm your child, you love me, right? So no matter what I do, you love me, right? So you do whatever you want. And you ask, every night you go on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done today. Every night you go on your knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry I did this. Lord, I've done this, I've done that. Every night. Maybe not every night, maybe every week. That's not the way. The Bible talks about a sanctified life, a life that is right. You live right. If you believe right, you will live right. No doubt. Because people have been taught wrong. That's why they do what they want. Huh? Look at the system in Christianity. Catholicism, Baptism, Methodism, Episcopalism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the moment, all have their system. I was in the exam, so God sees the Pentecost that came up. I saw all the things that were wrong because God told me that was whole thing was wrong. And the Bible tells us to come out of the system. Every system of man that's made. Organized. We don't have organization here. We don't have a piece of paper or form asking you to sign your name to be a member here. Like my friend, after he came out from Pentecostal church, came to us, and then he went back to Presbyterian church. He was there for a couple of years, and the pastor, the elders of the church, saw him there every week, every Sunday, and one day told him, says, "Hey, you have been here for so long. Are you going to be a member of this church?" He said, "What should I sign my name on the book?" He said, "No, because you have been eating the spiritual food here, so you must be a member." You see that? Did Jesus ask people that he feed them to sign their name on a piece of paper? Here, we don't have membership. You come, you like it, you learn. You don't like it, you go. Because why? God is calling, not me. God is calling his people. I'm just a voice. I help people to understand all over the world. People can listen. Because that is a ministry of God. And it is not a big ministry. When Jesus came, he was just a small person. With a small group. And people wanted to kill him. How many did he have? He only had 12. And one of them was the devil. Right? He might have preached 2,000. But they are not there for the truth. Only those 11. And some women, Mary Magdalene, I mean Mary, Martha, and so on. Yes. You see. So don't say, "Oh, well, let it be. Whatever will be, will be." But you know that God has a plan for you. And the Bible said, what did the Bible say? We read what Jesus said. "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." And the first three words, first three letters of these three words, even spelled the first word, ask. Right? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. How do you ask? How do you seek? And how do you knock? "Father in heaven, you know, I need this, right? You know, I need a Mercedes Benz. Because I need to drive around." "So you need a Mercedes Benz?" "Father, I don't need a Mercedes. I think I just need a simple Honda." "What do you want to ask for, Honda?" And when you ask, how do you ask? Do you really need it in the first place? Do you think God would just pop down a car in front of you? People ask because their ask means because they don't receive it because their ask means. Their prayer will not answer because already the answer of God is and oh no. Right? So we don't want to put God in the jar, you know, put him in a formula whenever we look to God and ask him for something. We need, when you ask, when we seek, when we knock, we need to have faith with it. But what is faith? Again, we talk about faith. What is faith? Faith is not saying, "I believe." Faith is a revelation. A revelation to understand that it must be in the will of God. You cannot ask for something that God, you have served you for no purpose. You can say, "Lord, I need a car because I want to drive one from here to there." Really? There are a lot of people who want a car because they want to show off. Or you want a car because they are lazy to walk or to take a bus. They just want a car. In America, I can understand people, you know, bus services are not there. Myself in the city. But here we have all the whole network of, right? Of everything. So you want a car. Then you can have a good reason for it. But don't ask for nothing. Ask for something which is in the plan of God, in God's understanding. So your answer may be from God, no or yes, and then he can say, "Wait." Have you ever prayed for so long and then God didn't answer until several months later, or even a year later, and then God answered? Huh? What is God doing that? Because God is testing your patience. God wants, because God has a plan for you, have a purpose in your life, and want you to learn, he's teaching you. You know, but patience is one of the virtues of Christian life. Many times we don't have patience, especially I think a lot of Singaporeans. I don't know about the Lebanese, but here in Singapore, you know, people are always with the queue for food, the queue to the ATM machine or bank. Whoa, the queue is so long. Hurry up, man, hurry up! Hey! You know, we just just get it ready, because we don't. I've been to the bank to deposit some money, and then you go there, you take a queue number. Wow, look at the queue number, look at the number of clients waiting. Now you look at the thing, yeah, this could be half an hour. So okay, then you don't want it, then you get out. But don't wait there walking up and down, everybody is looking at you while you're impatient, walking up and down, pacing up and down. Yeah, that's what we are. But when it comes to God, God is teaching us patience. When he's quiet, when God is silent, you can be sure the answer is no. Well, look at what happened to Jesus when he was in the garden. He didn't want to die. He was in the garden, Gethsemane, he was praying one time. God didn't answer, right? He got up, he went to the supper, they were sleeping. He said, wait, come on, wake up, pray with me. Can you not watch me for 1 hour? He went back and prayed again. He prayed, I don't know how long he prayed. God was silent. The whole garden was silent. Nothing. There was no sound. Nothing. No movement of the Spirit of God even. He prayed until the blood came out on his skin. The third time he went and prayed. No answer. When he was through with it, angels came and ministered to him. Where was God? Where was his Father? Why did he remain silent? Because the answer is already in the Scripture for Jesus Christ. Can he change God's plan? Can your prayer change God's plan? When it's already been willed by God that you, my son, must die. Prayer three times, no answer. The answer no means it's already there. You have to fulfill what's in Scripture. Then he ran unto the disciples, rise, time to go. That's when the gods came and took him away. So you don't try to change God's mind. Does you know my brother Peter says, Barakah, let's go to Egypt. I said, we'll pray about it. Now a week or two, I told him, says, I don't think I'm ready to go. Then he says, all right, I will go on my own then. But God had a plan. You see, now he said, we cannot go. We let everything quiet down first. So, let us remember how God deal with our life. Don't put God in the jar. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 2. You know, when we pray for God to deal with us. For example, you are sick. And you ask God, Lord, heal me. How do you expect God to heal you? How do you expect Jesus to heal you? Do we have a formulated, makeup? We already have a mind makeup that this is the way that God is going to do it for me. Now, in Mark chapter 2, we're not going to read it, but you can go, you probably know. You know, Christ healed the sick in various ways. Now, in chapter 2, he did it by spoken word. Is that right? You know that, don't you? He just speak the word, and the person was healed. He don't have to go and touch them. Pick up that bed and walk. Isn't it? He didn't even touch them. Pick up your bed. And the man just got up, took up his bed and go out, home. But what is the other way? Okay, now, in Mark chapter 6, now he lay hands on the sick now. So there's another way. Okay, the next one, in John chapter 9, well, John chapter 9, I think is very unorthodox. You know, it's very unorthodox. You know, if you were there and you saw Jesus hit the sick, they're just speaking the word, rise and walk. Then he will lay hand on somebody and he's walking. Wow. Then when you're blind, And he asked the Lord to heal you. And he took some clay, some dust, and spit on it. I mean, just imagine about it. He spit into it, and then he applied on your eye. Would you want somebody to spit into some muddy stuff, and you know, a flower or something, and then place it on your eye? How do you feel? Somebody spit on you, know? Very unorthodox, right? And people are standing there looking. Maybe some of them may comment, my goodness, that's dirty stuff. Because spit is supposed to be dirty, because you know, there's germs in the mouth and so on. You know what I mean? God has various ways of healing people. And we don't want to formulate in such that, or we don't want to put God in or Christ in a jar and say, this is the way He always do it. Lay hand, lay hand, lay hand, that's it. Or spoken word, that's it. No. He has various ways of healing. And we need to follow His instruction, of course. Because God's way of doing things, God is a creator. And being a creator, He must be very, very creative, right? Isn't it? Yeah. You look at, was it Elijah or Elisha? When there was poison in the pot, was it Elijah or Elisha? I forgot about these two characters. You know, when the servant went out there and they took all this fruit, gourd from the tree to make some soup, but did not realize there was poisonous stuff. You know? And then when one of someone saw, he said, there's poison in the pot. Right. And so what did Elijah do? Asked to bring some other herbs, put in there and counteract it. And everything is okay. You see, God's way of doing things is not our way of thinking. He can heal you in any way He wants to. He can make you wait. Well, let's just read Psalms first. Let us read Psalm 78 and verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. Say, yeah, they turned back and thanked God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel like to do that many times. They always turn back and they tempt the Lord and make God angry. That's right. Limiting God's way of doing things. God's way of doing things is not limited by only one method that you already know. Like the denomination will preach, the charismatic churches, especially. They pass the offering back. Or the offering, not the offering back usually. Now, in those days, I remember when I was in a Baptist church, they would pass a little bag, a small bag, you know. If there's an aisle, there's one section on the left and right, there'll be two bags. And deacon will just move and collect the money. But now, they use those big Kentucky Fried Chicken family size stuff. Huh? Those in that. Not in that. They're even bigger than that. They use those pails. And they'll preach, the more that you give, the more that God will bless you. Is it true? Is it true? Yeah? And there will be cases where people give because the preacher promised that God will heal them. There will be, you can see it on YouTube. People testify to the lies of these prophets, of the lies of this preacher. And they even said that we have given them checks, $10,000, $20,000 ever so often. And my daughter is still not healed. The promise of God is not that you give the money to God, God will heal you. No. As I said, your money is nothing to God. God don't need your money. That's right. God needs you to give your life to Him. As the Bible said, a living sacrifice. Offer your life as a living sacrifice. It means to say you live the life as Christ wants you to live. The Bible said, you are no longer your own. You are purchased with a price. You belong to Christ. And as Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. And if you are a prisoner, you have no rights. Got it? Hard, huh? This is the truth of the Bible, you know. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I have no rights. I cannot set myself free. As a prisoner, I cannot do what I want. You know what a prisoner is, right? Yes. You are led by the God. Every morning you get up, what time? What time is you do your ritual? You're washing your face, shower, go out there in the field to do some exercise for half an hour or so, and then come back, locked in your cell. I am a prisoner of Christ. But I am free. How can it be? I'm liberated from sin. And I walk with Him. Right? As the Bible said, there are those that are led by the Spirit of God. They are children of God. Sure. You see. So don't limit God. Let's go to this case of 2 Kings, chapter 5, 1 to 14. Yeah, we would like to read this. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I think we all know about this character here. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 to 14. Let me read it. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrian had gone out by companies and brought away captives of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now here, you know, it's a nice story. This is a true story for the matter of fact. Naaman was a captain of the army of Syria. He was a very good man. Alright, he was a good man. God even blessed him. But he was a man who had leprosy. You know, and when he went out fighting, he captured a young Israelite girl, brought home, and the young Israelite girl became his wife's maid. So when the Israelite girl, or the Jewish girl, saw that Naaman had leprosy, she was telling the wife, saying, oh, if only that he was with this prophet, he would be healed. There's somebody in the room heard it, maybe a male servant or what. So they report to the king, and the king loved Naaman. Okay, we'll do something for him. I sent a letter down to the king of Israel and said, when Naaman is come, oh, please do get him healed of the leprosy. And then what the king of Israel said, to his surprise, of course, he was not to be blamed. And in verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God? Of course, you know, I think that there was a lot of miscommunication here. To kill and to make alive, that this man do send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy, wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he sent a quarrel against me. So I thought that the king of Syria would fight for with him. And it was so when Elisha, that man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Okay. Now, Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But the demon was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now you see, Naaman had also one track mind. When Elijah called for him, he went. So he stood in front of the house of Elijah. But Elijah didn't come out and meet him, sent a servant and told him, so my master said, go to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times and you will be okay. Naaman was furious. What is that? I thought. That's a problem. We always talk. My grandson always, you know, I talk to him. I thought, Rabbi, I thought. He always uses the word thought. Yeah, the problem is that we think too much without thinking. The other, whether we say things, we do things without thinking. And then we say, I thought. Yeah. You didn't thought. Yeah, I mean, you didn't think before you thought. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You just think about it. And Naaman said, behold, I thought he would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of God, take his staff, his hand, wet over my leprosy, and it will go. You see, he has one thought on it. That's the way how he should do. Elijah should do to him. Then Elijah doesn't want to come out, lay hand on him and pray for him. Just tell him to go to River Jordan and dip 7 times and he'll be okay. Why can't he do it? Well, initially he was kind of proud man. But see what the Bible said here. Arnon, Abana, and Hopha, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So he thinks that the river of Damascus is better than the river of Jordan. The water there is better than the water in Jordan. It's not about the water. It's not about the river Jordan. No, it's not about river Jordan. It's not about river Abana or Fafa. No. What is it all about? What is it all about? Huh? Listen. And his servant came near and spake unto him, and he said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not do it? How much more rather when he said to you, wash and be clean? You know, so he is the captain of hosts. He's the captain of the army of Syria. And the servant said, you know, if Elijah tell you to do something great, you would do it, right? Of course, isn't it? Because we want to boast that we can do this, right? But the simple thing is that go and dip your son in the water. Why find so hard? Because it's a small little thing. It is a foolish thing. Kind of a little foolish, isn't it? Don't you think so? You ask me to go and fight a lion and kill a lion? Yes, I will do that. Huh? You ask me to get out of my horse and just go to the water of River Jordan to do something? That kind of look foolish to me. But the words of the servant hit home. And he went, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Yeah. I thought this is the way God is going to do it. But God's fresh word for the day to Naaman was not the same as what he wanted to do in the past. A fresh word may be something new completely that you don't expect it. But if Naaman was standing before the door of Elijah, Elijah came out and he collected all the dust on the floor and he spit into it and naked into it. And Naaman looked at him. Obviously, thinking this man might be something wrong to him. Every time God does something he didn't knew can be very drastic for our understanding, our idea, our thinking. That's why when he told the people, the Bible said, repent, number one. Because the people of Israel asked the apostle on the day of Pentecost, what shall we do to be saved? What must he do to be saved? And Peter said, repent. That's number one. Can you do that? I mean, repent, not just confess. Repent is different from confession. I can commit something against a brother or sister or someone, and I say, I'm sorry that I did this. You turn around, next week you did the same thing to him. That is confession. But he said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it, I apologize, forgive me. You turn around, next week, next month, next year, notice you will never do it again. Repentance is a complete turnaround. And then number two, they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But the denomination went into water, baptized the people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who started that? That's a Catholic church. And nobody in the Bible ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because there is no Trinity. There is no Holy Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are not three persons, no three gods. But God is not a person. God is a spirit. But Jesus Christ is the person of the living God. The Spirit of God reveals himself, manifests himself through Jesus Christ, the person. God is always a spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, never a person. You are a person, I'm a person. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Personality, yes, God has a personality. But a personality, having a personality doesn't make him a person. Because if you have a dog, or cat, or parrots, or even a monkey, or you are orangutan, orangutan, American corner orangutan, they all have personality, right? You know, dogs have personality, huh? But doesn't make them person. No. Personality means character. Attribute that they have, their way, they have, how they behave. God is not a person, he is a spirit. And he has a personality, he has character, he has attributes. But God is not three persons. God is our Father, yes. But his name is not Father. And Peter said, baptize in the name of the Father. What's the name of the Father? Yah. Y-A-H. Yah. What's the name of the Son? Yah. As well. What's the name of the Holy Spirit? Yah, as well. Because God is Spirit. Yahweh, Wahed. I am that I am. Yah. Yahweh. And he came and manifested himself in Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the Son, the Savior. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God himself, the Father. He's the Spirit, he's holy. But you get all this teaching that is completely out there in the denomination. How did the denomination start? The church started on the day of Pentecost. There was never a denomination. Until 100 years later, Nicolaitan system came in and became a doctrine. Huh? Men stood up and said, I am the big guy. You are the small guy. You are the laity. I'm the clergy. Listen to what I've said. Slowly they formulated. What do they have? Bishops. Yeah, we have bishops in the Bible. Means elders. People who oversees. But we must have somebody above the bishop. So archbishop came up. But where do you get the Bible? Archbishop. Later on, it comes again. You got cardinals. Right? You understand? Huh? Then after the cardinal, you have Monsignor, and then you have that higher goes to the Pope. Somebody want to be a big dealer. You don't get this in the Bible. Peter wasn't the first Pope. Never was. Peter was just an apostle, never a first pope. In fact, Peter made so many mistakes in his life. He gave laws that shouldn't be. And they poked him around and rebuked him because he was playing the hypocrisy. They are all human beings. Peter was not God. Paul was not God. Brother Branham was not God. There's only one who is God. And there's God himself. That's one who is the Son of God. And that is Jesus Christ. But there are many sons of God. I'm one of them. And you're one of them. Where do we keep the balance in Scripture? All this denomination, all this darkness that bounds, and all this ignorance. And for us, When we walk with Christ, a new fresh, every day, a fresh word comes for a new day. Can we learn God? Jesus said, come, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and it's light.
Yes?
Not hard. Lord, people find out, your faith is so hard to follow. No, it's not. When you learn of Christ, it's easy. But if you want to follow the system or your desire, everything will be hard because it's contrary to God. That's why the system of the world, they don't belong to God. It belongs to the devil. Huh? That's why the Pharisees, Sadducees, they have their own system. They attack Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, you know your Bible? Do you know the scripture? Now we know the scripture. We have Abraham as our father, we have Moses as our prophet, and we have Elijah, we have this. And Jesus Christ literally telling them that they are all dead. And the greater than Solomon is standing right here. And you don't even know it. You kill the prophet. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. And you call them gods. When I said I'm the Son of God, you want to kill me? Why? Because they do not understand. They were locked up in their Phariseeism, their Sadduceeism, their Herodianism. They know that there are several big denominations too. They all claim to have the Bible, the Old Testament. But yet they missed out the real thing. If God did not open the eyes of Saul, who later became Paul, he would have gone around killing a lot of people. What about Nicodemus? You all know Nicodemus? A Pharisee who heard what Jesus said. But he was kind of afraid because he didn't want to go and visit Jesus Christ and ask questions. Because all his colleagues, he didn't want them to see. He had something in his heart that he wanted to ask Jesus. So he had to go to visit Jesus in the night, right? Master, Rabbi, how do they get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again? You mean I must go back to my mother's womb? You know that, don't you? Yes? You mean I must go back to my mother's womb? You see, and Jesus said, you mean that you are a rabbi, a teacher of the Lord of God, and you don't even understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you talk to a child, the child says, oh, you mean to say I must go back to my mommy's womb? That's a little kid, right? But for you, Nicodemus, you are supposed to be a teacher of the law, and you don't understand that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. What is flesh is already flesh. And there's nothing good in this flesh. It's dying. That's why people ask the question that was on the Facebook. I just replied them last few weeks ago. Why? Did God make the virus? Did God make all these viruses? What are the viruses on earth for? All viruses are a very terrible thing. It must have come from Satan or something. Because it invades the body, kills the cell, the person is dead. Did God make the viruses? Did God create the viruses? Yes. But what is the purpose of the viruses? Do you all know the answer? A lot of people don't seem to know because they don't know the Bible. Everything that God created had a purpose. The viruses are there. I think it was even in the last few days in the paper. That the viruses breaks down things. That's right. That's what I was telling them. A few weeks ago. All microorganisms are built by God to maintain the ecosystem of the earth. The environment. To keep the air in the balance of oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide. Yes. But few people don't understand. They think that all this bad stuff, why did God so good create all this bad stuff? It was not supposed to be attacking your body. Why did they attack our body today? It's because of sin. And the moment the sin came in, the glory of God, the shadow of God left Adam and Eve, and it began to die. And once the body began to die, the body, bacteria, microorganism that God created to break down all this back into the natural must attack your body. And that's why God gave Moses the dietary law. To keep, eat the proper food, proper diet, so to keep themselves healthy. But no, we love all the junk food, don't we? We all love junk food. And even so much junk here, the Chinese over in China are making food out of cardboard. Making food, oh, I was going to watch artificial stuff. Somebody sent me a link that shocked me. I think it's quite natural for them. Because these are people who only going after money. But they don't care about the welfare of people. Alright. Romans 8, verse 1. So, like the head of Israel, don't say, I thought this is the way, I thought this is the way. No. God has His way. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God has a lot of varieties of ways of dealing with us. Now, would you prefer a miracle or a cure? If you are sick, do you want a miracle or a cure? Everybody wants a miracle. Sure, you don't want a miracle. And I know that there are a lot of Christians. I mean, back in those days, in the message, I know what I heard. I saw some brother and sister in the fellowship over this side, over that side, all these years. Oh! You know, because what? The life of Brother Branham. The thing that God did to Brother Branham. The thing that they can repeat the same thing again. I'm not going to take my medicine. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to take my medicine. Have you heard people say that? Because if I take medicine, the pills, the tablet, means I don't have faith. So, I must begin now to practice my faith. Put away all the medicine. Looking for a cure. Looking, not for a cure, looking for a miracle. You see, that's how God works. Everybody wants a miracle. Look, I already told you about my cataract that is forming here. Alright? But I'm still looking for God for the miracle too. But when I don't come, then it's not subsiding because I'm still eating organic wheatgrass and combating it. Doctors say there is no way that cataract can be reversed. I mean, that's what always the scientists will tell you. When you have cancer, that is a terrible disease you're going down. You need radiotherapy or chemotherapy, but those things kill you. So if I have cancer, I'm not going to for that. All I'm going to do is eat healthy food and combat it. All this because the body mutated, the cell mutated because of the junk that is there. That those viruses must act and break it down. And you will even attack the healthy cell, of course. And your radiation, chemotherapy that kills it will also kill your healthy cell. And you're getting weak, you're not going to recover. But it comes times that, you want to die, die. If you want a cure, do the right thing. For example, my cataract, if it is for me until where really that there's no way to reverse, then I went for cataracts and remove the lens and put a new one. I don't say, oh, I'm going to wait until I'm completely blind. Oh, when the whole thing becomes, you know how the cataract looks like, white, right? And this other also white. No more, I still can see when you are lying to yourself. When you're completely blind. I can see, you can see. You know how people are like that? People want miracle, but if God doesn't want to give you a miracle, God wants you to have patience. And God can use, medicine. What kind of medicine? Maybe hops of the field. Use wisdom. God is touching your faith, dealing with us. Get a point? If your leg is gangrene, you know gangrene, it turns on, it's like doctor says you have to be amputated, you know. Or else you go all the way up and you infect your blood will be infected too and you will die. No, I have faith in God. I want to save my leg. Doctor says, okay. What happened? Day after day when you talk like this, you really have faith in God. As I said this again, faith is a revelation. And God has a way of healing people and dealing with people variously. Huh? Do you know? Huh? Do you know that there are people who never want to be a Christian, don't want to give their life to the Lord, and God has been dealing with the person, and one day he finds himself, both legs were gone. Now he got no leg. Why he had no leg? Because when with the leg he did all running around doing all the bad things. Now without leg, he can sit at home and think for a while. Why do I lose my leg? And God's calling. And his life will be changed. There are cases like that. Isn't it? Yes. Cases like that. Last minute when God has to be drastic to take the man's leg away, that his soul will be saved. That the Bible even said so. Right? Some people are so stubborn. Now they face a lot of pain, sickness, before they give their life to the Lord. But that is called wasted years. That's what the Bible says, when you are young, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with the strength of your youth. That's why I served the Lord since I was young, a teenager. Even when I was in secondary school, I go out, giving tracts, speak to people on the street, witness to them about Jesus Christ. But when you are old, you cannot do very much. When you are young, you do it. James 5:13-18. You know James 5:13-18? James 5:13-18. The Bible says, "There that is sick among you, let him call for the elders of church," right? "And let them be prayed, anointed with oil, and be prayed over." Yeah, that is the way we were told to do. But sometimes God wants to use other ways. Though you are expecting that to happen, if it doesn't happen, don't worry. Do the common sense thing. Take some medicine. Take some medication. If you have a headache, you want to take a Panadol, go ahead. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. Some people think that, well, people have been teaching that sometimes out there in the denomination. Some people's thresholds are low. They cannot tolerate pain. I could tolerate pain. I can do my own surgery in my finger when the fish hook stuck there. I did it my own. Just cut it out. Huh? Some people cannot take the pain. So take a Panadol, take a Tylenol, whatever. You know. But then you'll continue to pray and the Lord, let the Lord deal with you. Don't go and take so much Panadol and or codeine until he rots your stomach away. Okay? So now we know that all healings are from God by His grace. Satan do not heal. Medical science do not heal. Huh? Medical science do not heal you. Medical science, what it does is that it aids. Okay, you're healing. They're trying to find the answer to why you get this disease, that disease, and how to counteract this. Counteract, that's all. It is God that gives the healing. There are people who have been taking medicine after medicine for this, and never are healed. Especially diabetes people. Why? Because they continue to eat what they like. And there's a way to get rid of diabetes, actually. But you see, people just love food. They just love their lifestyle. My neighbors are in my block, the Malay family. I lived there for only 30 years now, almost. They were young. They were a little like Elijah, a little plumpy boy. 1 year later, huge. Another year later, huge. Getting bigger and bigger. My oh my, the panel already big. Now, I saw the man walking out of the elevator like this. He's big. He had diabetes, I know that. His anchor is hurting him because it's too heavy. Huh? When you tell them, talk to them, they would listen, of course. And they love food with sugar in it. In Africa, I told a brother, they took a cup of coffee or tea, they put 4 teaspoons of sugar, white sugar. I said, "What are you drinking?" Are you drinking sugar with your tea? It's a pretty old evening. When I went out there to a food court, they order whatever they order, and they come back always with a can of Fanta, Coke. So don't drink that, brother. This is poison. But we love it, brother. And of course, why you love it? Because it's sugary. It's tasty. It gives you the high. But after you drink too much of it, you have problems. And Coca-Cola makes millions of dollars. And you're killing people. Right? So cut down all that stuff. Eat some healthier drink. That's why eat food with a glass of hot water. Or green Chinese tea. Or green Japanese tea. Right? Don't eat food with cold drink. It's bad for your health. People say that's nonsense. Some people don't believe that. Oh yeah, of course it's nonsense to you. I almost get the problem. That's why God taught me a lesson years ago in the 80s. When I preached so hard out there in Philippines because of the ashes that it got through my throat and I was sick. All those days I was having a high fever. I was still preaching morning, afternoon and night. Go back to the hotel, sleep, and get up, blow my nose, cough it up, just wash myself, looks okay, go and preach. And at the same time, the pain in my throat was killing me, I was drinking Coca-Cola. So just to ease the pain. That was the biggest mistake. I came home, and for 6 months, the pain in my chest, the lungs are pulled away from my ribcage. It's so painful, every time it pain. But I didn't want to go see the doctor, took an x-ray, that's all. So all the process, yeah, I know. 6 months. And from that time on, all I have is a flask of warm water, hot water. You don't suck your throat when it's already hot with preaching, with cold. Easy, think it nice. Huh? God taught me every time a fresh word for the new day. Learn my lesson. Learn how God guides and plans for your life. Because God loves me. And God loves you. And He wants to teach you and guide you. For your health's sake. Not just for your spiritual health. Alright, so we know who hosts tomorrow, right? Okay. God hosts tomorrow. You don't know what hosts tomorrow. Tomorrow you can go out there and you can say goodbye to the world. Right? You never know. Huh? Or may not say goodbye to the world. Say goodbye to your legs or arms or something like that. Yes. And many times, with all this e-bike and e-whatever, I was almost hit many times by them. And one time, it was my fault. But it was partly the fault of the people who were making the road. I came down the step, I was looking right for cars. You know, you always have to look advanced to see that when the car flow. I didn't know that there was a workman's cone. You know the cone? The place there. For the on the roadside, it was placed in the pathway. I didn't know it was in the pathway. So I was ringing for the cars not, you know, any traffic coming before I crossed. So there was no traffic, I walked and I tripped over the cone and fell forward. If there was a car to come, my head would be gone. And I thank God for that. Then from that time on, I know. Though the woman should not have placed in the path of people where people are walking, it's also my fault. That I should not just look at traffic coming, I should look at the place I am. And many times when I stepped off the pavement, I didn't realize that pavement was high. And you know, you thought that it was low, and you trip because it's too high? Yes. And God teach me a lot of things. Learn. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. So we can only say this. If God will, we shall live. Right? If God holds tomorrow, if God will, I will live another day. And if I will live another day, I will rejoice in the Lord. My health is not because I can boast that because I'm some kind of special man that I'm healthy. I've never been sick for 25 years. It was by the grace of God. I cannot boast because I know I took care of my health. No. I have my pain. Yeah, I have my pain here and there, my neck pain, all this there. But I've not been sick. I thank God for that. Pain bound to be there when you're old. So, we give our God the glory. Some James 4. I read that 3 verses. Brother Henry, will you read James 4, 14 to 16?
Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanish away. For that ye are saved, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boast. All such rejoicing is evil.
Right. Don't rejoice in your boasting. You know. Now God give you a good job. Thank God for that. Don't say, wow, see, I got this salary, this big salary because I work hard. Oh, really? How will you ever work hard? It's because God give you health. God give you the ability to do the work properly. And you deserve it. But don't boast that it is all because of your hard work. Right? Isn't it? Yes. Psalms 91, verse 2 and 4. Psalms 91, verse 2 and 4. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers and make His wings, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Right. You can only trust in the Lord. Don't make a boast. Your life is not your own. If you are a believer, a Christ, a Christian, your life is not your own. When I travel, I always pray, the Lord, keep me safe. My life is in your hand. And there were times, all sorts of things happened. There were a few times I could have been a dead man. Yes. God guide my path. God guide the path of even Jesus Christ. He got the wisdom. When people wanted to kill Him, He quickly sneaked away. Not standing there, boast, I'm the Son of God, you know. I can call fire down from heaven and kill you, you know. No. Because even though He's the Son of God, the devil said, why don't you jump up on a pinnacle? And the Bible said that the angel of God will lift you up before your feet touch the ground. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right? And the devil called the scripture. And Jesus Christ said, yeah, the scripture said it, but it also says this. Keep your balance. The Bible said about in Mark 16, those that believe, pick up the serpent, will not kill you. Drink any deadly poison will not kill you, right? Does it mean what it says? And you go and try it. Take some poison, you see. Just take that all. And see what happened to you. Go, do it. What it says, it means to say that if you did it by accident, or Paul, for example, gathering firewood on the beach to pull up, to make a bonfire, and he picked up a stick, he didn't know that it was not a stick, it was a snake, and he bit him. Hey, just take the snake and throw it in the fire. Poisonous thing, just take it. Don't worry about it. God was with him. He's on a journey. My girl, I'm no longer a little girl. When he was young, every time when I traveled overseas, he cried. She cried. She was worried that I might die out there somewhere in the foreign land. And I said, God is with me. Huh? And if I should die on a foreign land someday, it will be no more than love. Right? That's it. The God gave to me, I take the word out to those who need it. Let's go to one more story here. John chapter 11. Here we're not going to read all of it, but let us read 2 verses of scripture. John chapter 11. Know the story of Lazarus? Everybody knows. Practically, huh? You know the story of Lazarus, don't you, man? Lazarus. And Jesus loved his family. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Jesus loved them. So one day, Lazarus was very sick. John chapter 11. And Mary and Martha sent news to Jesus Christ, come, Lazarus, your friend is sick, come heal him. But probably because he's seen that Jesus Christ just ignored. Takes all the sweet time, you know, ministering, and then slowly go there. But the time when Jesus arrived at the house, Mary and Martha said, oh, if you had come earlier, he would not have died. What he says over in verse 21, chapter 11, verse 21. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you have been here, my brother had not died. If you have been here, sir, Lazarus would not have died. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come, that was Martha, then Mary came. Mary said the same thing. And she saw Jesus and she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you have been here, my brother had not died. Both sisters. Isn't it? I mean, that's all. You know, Mary and Martha wanted healing. Wanted Lazarus to be healed. But Jesus came and said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, we know that in the day of resurrection, we're all resurrected. But they didn't realize Jesus was saying, I'm the resurrection life. I can heal, I can raise up Lazarus from the dead right now. And there were all these Jewish people, religious, were all following. No, they wanted to see what Jesus Christ would do because they knew Jesus loved Lazarus. Huh? And when Jesus went there, and all of this disappointment, Jesus, yeah, the one verse in Scripture, the shortest verse in Scripture, where was it? In this chapter. Where do you find it? Over in verse 35. The shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? A lot of people say, oh, he wept because he loved Lazarus so much. And he saw Mary and mother love Lazarus so much. He feel that he also feel sorry for them. No! Jesus wept because of their unbelief. Mary and Martha didn't quite understand. They didn't believe. The people there didn't believe who he was. I'm the resurrection and the life. Take away the stones now. Roll it away. Lazarus, come forward. And here are dead men, all wrapped up, come hopping up. You know, Chinese zombies. Like that's what they're supposed to be saying. But they come hopping out of the cave and say, untie him, loosen him. And Lazarus, walk again, live again. Mary and Martha wanted a healing. But Jesus wanted to give them a miracle. Right? But in the last one miracle. Well, we got healing. And sometimes very slow healing. Ouch. Huh? We must look at the plan of God. Did God such great perform in our life? Right. So now, remember this. Naaman, he received instruction. Simple instruction. Just go to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. Can you follow instruction? Huh? Or is the instruction contrary to your thinking? Your I thought this is the way. Many times that's what we all do. I thought this is the way. So when instructions are given to me, I cannot follow. So we need to follow what Jesus wants us to do. Moses is another case. Moses, we all know it. We don't have to go to it. God told Moses, when children of Israel ask for water. Water, 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 water. Okay. God says to Moses, now, go to stand on the rock there, take a staff, and give it, and strike the rock, and water will flow. Moses did it the first time. Hit it, water flows off. Right? Good. What does it represent? The striking of the rock, what does it represent? It represents the smiting of Christ one time, right? Christ was smitten. After several years, let the down road, we want more water. Grumbling. And God said to Moses, all right, can the people go to the place? I don't understand that. I mean, you go there, bring the people there, and speak to the rock. And water will flow. Moses said, okay, took the staff, he went down there. But he was so very fed up with the people. Don't blame Moses. He was fed up with the children of Israel. I don't blame some pastor being fed up with the congregation too. Sometimes they do. Huh? You know how sad Brother Branham was? When the congregation started to, he was some sort of God, he was Jesus, he baptized them in, baptized people in the name of William Branham. And all kind of things was that he knew it. He rebuilt those men who were doing all this behind his back. All right, Moses, speak to the rock. Moses was upset. He took that rock of his staff and smacked the rock, and water flew. And what did God say to him? Moses, you did not sanctify me before the people. And because of this, you can see the land of promise, but you will not be able to go over. You will not cross over Jordan. You will die this side, Jordan. Amazing! Moses learned. He learned the hard way, and he never get into the promised land. Even though he was a leader, though he was a prophet of God, God is no respecter of person. Whether you're the big guy or the small guy, whether you're a great prophet or just a small believer, you better obey instruction. Huh? God sent an example in Moses' life. A lot of people say, oh, because Moses was like this, you favor him, alright Lord. Because I'm a small prayer, you don't care. I made a mistake, you dealt with me so harsh. No. And I read this end few verses. 1 Samuel 15:22. We close with these two passages. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, have the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So, be obedient. Rebellion is as witchcraft. Really, it is as witchcraft. Stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Isaiah 30:19-21. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the bread and water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thy eyes shall see thy teachers. Yes. Though you suffer, though you have pain and affliction, yet thy teacher will not be removed from you. You will be taught. God will provide his minister to teach so that you can continue to walk in the ways of God. And thy ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, this is the way that you should walk. When you turn to the left, when you turn to the right, stay in the middle ground on the highway. You don't know. You know why a highway is built the way it is built? A road? The center is always higher by a few centimeters, so that the side will curve, so that the water when it rains will go to the gutters. Right? So when you go to the left and go to the right, stay in the center. This is the way. Always remember, this is the way, straight is the way, and narrow the way. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, don't turn. There's always a fresh wood for a new day. And God will guide us and keep us. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace, O Lord. I pray, Father, that you take the word that has been spoken, take it further now, deep into the hearts of your people, Father, and to learn that you always have something special, something new for your people, something fresh every day, teaching your children, O Father, the way of life, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, towards us now. Today we ask that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.